I must be one dominant, one receptive. To have passed on. So they got double, whatever it is. But I know, I passed on one of each. No, I passed on one. And Jane passed on one, so they've got double. Wouldn't last forever. And as we sing these songs for you, we hope
that you'll think a little bit about that. And later on, Andy, who's a member here of the church, is going to come and help us think a little bit more about this message that lies behind the music. But onwards with our next song, we're going to do what has come to be known as a mashup, which is where you take various songs and layer them on top of each other to make a wonderful combination of them. We're going to sing three classic spirituals: Swing Low Sweet Chariot, or When the Saints Go Marching In, and I Want to Sing, Sing, Sing. Here we go.
Is mine? Can you hear me? Yeah. So to give the choir a little break, I'm going to sing a couple of solos, and Jonathan's going to play. They are also some of these classic spirituals, and they also talk of the hope that we can have if we trust in Jesus in some of the hardest times in life. So the first one is the really beautiful Steal Away to Jesus. And that's talking about how we can have the hope of eternal life even in the face of death, if we trust in Jesus. And then the second one is called The Storm is Passing Over. And it's about how we can have hope even in the trials and the most difficult times of life.
Thank you.
Next, the choir are going to sing another mashup, one example of which you heard earlier. These are a little bit less sort of chirpy than the ones we did earlier. These are slightly sadder, still very, very beautiful. The first one is Wade in the Water. Then we're going to do Run, Mary, Run. And then Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. And then after we've sung that mashup, we're going to sing an arrangement of Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, which you may know very well already.
Thank you. Thank you again. Now, as I said earlier, Andy, who's one of the ministers here at the church, is going to come and talk to us for a couple of minutes. I always feel terrible now because we all want more music, don't you? Probably at this point, I'm the only one who's actually glad to be speaking, in that I just still haven't quite worked out how to sway, speak, and clap simultaneously. So this is much more in my comfort zone than singing is. So even if you're sitting there with thinking, oh, I wish we had more music, and there will be more later, just indulge me for a moment or two. But I want to say there's a reason actually why it's good to stop at this point in the evening and to do some thinking. Because I guess what happens in more formal concerts is that there's a great effort to make sure that everybody is applauded. So you get a moment when the conductor is applauded and the choir and the instrumentalists and the soloists and so on. And basically this part in the program is our attempt to make sure that the applause goes to the right place. That's what we're trying to do over the next actually 10 to 15 minutes or so. Because what I want to do is to get you to imagine a scenario. Imagine a scenario, you're at home, it's tomorrow morning, and you open the door first thing in the morning, and what you find on the doorstep is a CD of your favourite music. I mean, I know it's going to be us after tonight, but maybe it's Mozart, maybe it's U2, whatever it is, you open the door and there's a CD with your favourite music. Tuesday morning, you open the door, and there on the doorstep, you find your favourite meal. I don't know, is it a lasagna or a roast dinner? Whatever it is, you find your favourite meal on the doorstep. Wednesday morning, you open the door, and there you find tickets to your favourite event. Maybe it's a sporting event, a snooker tournament or something like that. Or maybe it's a film or a theatre visit that you find on your doorstep Wednesday morning. Thursday morning, there's clothing. It's a shirt that you just look absolutely magnificent in. Thank you. Or maybe it's a sort of great dress or something like that. But you just think, oh, that's a fantastic thing. And then Friday morning, you wonder what's going to happen as you open the door. And you open the door and there's a photo album with all your favorite places in the world. Now imagine if that were to happen to you. The obvious question that you would be asking is this. Where has all that come from? You know, all this stuff that's arrived on your doorstep, where has it all come from? Now, of course, life doesn't work like that. And yet I want to say, in a way, it does. Actually, life does work like that. Even if it's not on our doorstep, actually, as we go through life, so many of those things are there, aren't they? Music, food, hobbies, clothing, beautiful scenery, even sort of children at their sort of young age, even that's part of life. Friends, families, all the good things that we enjoy as part of this world. And I guess we ask the question, where does all this come from? I mean, let's think about music, since it's music that we're thinking about tonight. Yesterday, when we were trying to learn our six songs in 5 hours, occasionally I just had a look round. I did have a quick look around at the rest of the choir. And basically, there were two main expressions that were on people's faces. The first was, ah, as we just desperately tried to accumulate all the information about the songs that we were going to sing. Please have mercy on us. But actually, the second expression that was on people's faces was just beaming smiles. And I think that came from two things. It was partly the sort of camaraderie of trying to do something together. It was also that sense occasionally when a harmony worked and you're saying, wow, that sounds good. We can make that noise. And there were just people bursting into smiles and grins as we sang together. When the early Christians, those who'd been with Jesus, traveled around the world telling people what they'd seen, they met people who had very little idea about God. And one of the ways they tried to explain God to people who didn't know about him was this. The God who fills your hearts with joy. If you're wondering, it's Acts 14 if you want to check it later. The God who fills your hearts with joy. And they actually weren't talking to Christians there. They're actually talking to the whole of humanity. Who is this God? He's the God who fills your hearts with joy. Or elsewhere, he's described as the God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And so I want to say that music, if it is producing the old smile on your face, actually ultimate applause goes to God the Creator. Because he's the one who fills our hearts with joy in so many different ways. The American composer Leonard Bernstein was an agnostic. He wasn't sure whether he believed in God or not. But he said that whenever he listened to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, at the end of it he said, "There must be a God." I don't know whether you've had a moment like that tonight, maybe more when Anna was singing than when we were. But I want to say there is actually a rational reason why music points to a God who's the Creator. It's actually about 25 years ago since I last played the piano. Basically, I can't play it anymore. If I sat down and tried to play the piano, there would just be a load of random notes. It wouldn't work. No, music works on the principle of order and creativity. It works on the base of harmonies that fit together, of pieces that come to a resolution. Basically, there are two ways you can approach the world. Either it's all random chance that happens to take place, or actually there is an ordered and creative mind behind it. And I want to say that when we listen to music, it actually reflects that there is a creator who has ordered things with a delightful creativity. Music doesn't work randomly, and actually the world doesn't work randomly. No, it points to one who is ordered and one who is creative. And I want to say, actually, it doesn't just point us to the fact that there is a God, but it also points us to the fact that there's a wonderful God. I mean, I guess God could create a world that's just purely functional. You know, it sort of works. But actually what music points us to is a God who gives us so much to enjoy, who fills our hearts with gladness, who gives us harmonies that thrill our soul. What a God who will give us many things to enjoy, who gives us days like yesterday when we enjoyed ourselves, hopefully evenings like tonight when you're enjoying yourself. He's that sort of God, a generous God. And I suppose that raises the old question in our minds. If God is a generous God who gives us things like music to enjoy, maybe we do need to ask the question, how have I treated that God? Or maybe we need to ask the question, if God is that good that he gives us things to enjoy, how can I know him? God is the God who fills our hearts with joy. But I want to say briefly that there's a second thing to say. Because as Jonathan made the point earlier, if you know anything about the type of music that you're listening to this evening, you'll notice that in some ways it doesn't come out of a joyful situation. It comes out of hideous oppression, slavery, people captured from Africa, brought across the oceans to serve as slaves in the 19th century. And yet, despite the sorrow, despite the sadness, there is evidence of something else within the songs. They're songs of hope. They're songs even of joy. Because what the slaves knew was that they had a God who is on the side of those in need. You see, they go back to the Bible and they see persistently throughout the story of the Bible how God is so often on the side of those in need and those who are oppressed, as it were, on the side of the underdog. You know, many of the songs we're singing tonight come from the story of God's people in slavery in Egypt, ultimately being rescued. This is a God who gives us things to enjoy and a God who is on the side of the oppressed. And he's on the side of the oppressed all the way through the Bible, until the time when Jesus appears. It was back in the 1990s that the film Amistad was released. It starred Morgan Freeman and Anthony Hopkins, and it was a true story set back in the 19th century concerning black African slaves. There was a mutiny on the slave ship, and they ended up in prison on trial for their life. And as part of that film was an incredibly moving scene. You can find it on YouTube, it's where I found it earlier. Where actually those in prison, they come across a Bible. They're actually unable to read the Bible, but throughout this Bible, there are illustrations dotted all the way through it. And so these slaves follow the story of the Old Testament. And so they see these fellow slaves, as it were, who are oppressed and then rescued. And then as they keep flicking through the illustrations, they see a man who comes. They don't know the name of this man. They know he must be special because in the illustrations, the sun is always shining on him. And in these illustrations, they see the way he cares for children. They see the fact that he performs miracles. And they think that this must be a great man. And then suddenly they turn over the page and they see this man being bound. And they see this man being flogged. And they see this man being executed and killed on a cross. And it is hugely moving, because what they see is this great God who comes to earth and experiences exactly what they're experiencing: bound, flogged, killed. The hideous mistreatment that they're experiencing, they see that this great man has experienced as well. The Bible describes God as the God who fills our hearts with joy, and he's also the one who comes to earth as a man of sorrows and one familiar with suffering. A God who is with the oppressed to the extent of being oppressed himself. And yet that oppression becomes the basis for forgiveness and hope. They turn the page and they see this man come back to life again. Then they see him ascending to heaven, and they say to each other, maybe that's what will happen to us when we are killed. And it is a great hope that there is an end in the end to slavery and oppression for those who trust in Jesus, and a great hope of a glorious future. It's an amazing story, and the wonder of it is that it's true. Both actually the story of Amistad and the story they looked at. The story of Jesus, one who comes willing to be oppressed. It's what we've been looking at as a church on a Sunday morning, actually. We're looking at Luke's historical record of Jesus' life, and we see a God who is willing to suffer and then triumph. And it is that biblical story that provides the hope that means that slaves in the most hideous conditions can still sing with joy. So where does the applause go on a night like tonight? I want to say the applause goes to a truly amazing God. A God who gives us music, and a God who fills our hearts with joy. A God who is with the oppressed, even to the extent of becoming oppressed himself, which means that even slaves can sing. I want to say there's a truly amazing God who is really there. Which again might beg the uncomfortable question, how have I treated that God? But also the positive question, can I know that God? It's great to have so many of you here. I know many here for the first time. Let me just say what our conviction as a church is. Our conviction actually is a group of people. Our conviction is that God is great, that none of us have treated God as he deserves, but that nevertheless, because of Jesus, we can be forgiven, and that we can know God and have a wonderful hope for the future. I want to say, if you're here for the first time, it won't always be like this, but we'd love to see you again. We really would. We hope we're a warm and a welcoming community. I want to say, if you've got questions, maybe just actually we're in that position like those first people. We really don't have much of a concept of God. If you've got questions, then there's opportunities to explore those. I think on the seats there are things you can tick. Perhaps you want to ask a question on a kind of one-to-one basis, then feel free to tick that. We also run courses, which are very relaxed opportunities, just to examine Jesus' life and for you to ask any question you would like. Any question would be welcome. And again, there's an opportunity to tick that box as well. What we'd encourage everybody to do, even if you're a regular and you've been in the church for 30 years, please do fill this in, partly because we'd love to get some feedback. So what I'd encourage all of us to do is to fill the form in. Ideally, so we can just get some feedback on the event. So please do that at the end, and then there's a yellow box at the back to pop those in. And Scott will remind me earlier that there are spare pens and spare sheets there as well. But please do fill that in. As I say, we're so thankful that you've come. It's lovely to see this place full of people appreciating the music that's been provided. As I say, we'll give applause in different places at the end. But this is just a reminder that ultimate applause goes to a God who fills our hearts with joy, who can even inspire slaves in the midst of misery to sing. Thank you so much for being here. I think Anna and Jonathan are going to sing for us.
So before the choir come up to do their last couple of songs, we're going to sing a duet, which picks up on some of what Andy said. So we're going to sing Deep River, and this is about this hope of a glorious future of eternal life that the slaves were hoping for. And it uses the image of a river to describe that. So the river in the song is death, and the person singing it is saying how they want to cross over that river and get to the campground. So how they have to cross over the river of death to get to the campground, which is describing the eternal life that we can have if we trust in Jesus and that amazing place of heaven.
Songs to sing to us tonight. The first is called Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around, and picks up some of those things of a hope that one day there would be freedom for the people writing these songs. And then the final song is called Didn't It Rain, and it's an example of the songs we said earlier, songs that reminded the people writing them of the amazing stories in the Bible, in this case the story of Noah. So there we go, Ain't Gonna Let Nobody, and then Didn't It Rain to finish.
Walking, keep on talking, walking to the ground. Don't let nobody turn me around.
thank you, everybody. It's been great to see you all here. Just one or two things to mention. Please do stay. There should be some refreshments that I guess will be appearing over there. So please do stay for refreshments. Just a reminder about those feedback forms. Actually, particular reminder to the choir. We'd love to have people's email addresses and so on so we can keep in touch. So particular reminder to the choir to fill in those forms. And for anybody, if you've got any feedback you want to keep in touch, please do drop your contact details on those. I think all of us who've been involved with it would want to say a huge thank you to Jonathan and Anna. Normally they work with professionals, so we're very grateful indeed for them to come and spend the weekend with us. They've been a huge encouragement to us. We're very thankful, and I think we want to say thank you to them. Thank you, everybody. Say, please do stay around for refreshments. And again, many thanks indeed for coming this evening. Guys, thank you.